We're talking to one another right now across such a distance, and yet it seems like we're in the same room sharing a coffee together. You know, this is the incredible thing about the internet that we often forget. And really thinking and having conversations with communities broadly outside of a similar or shared language and say, what does it mean that we've been connected to one another for 35 plus years using this type of technology? And how can we understand languages combined together, not as so separate as we often have done through linguistics, but where are we going with language? What does communication look like now, today, in the 21st century? And having conversations with historians, linguists, people who are not part of the academy. I often think we are always seen to be in the ivory tower being professors, but I think that that's the worst place to be to really learn.
That was my conversation with Claire Marie Brisson, who teaches French at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and hosts the North American Francophone podcast. Claire Marie's book, Michiganaise, will be out in 2025. This year's Rendezvous de la Francophonie partners and funders include the Government of Canada, the Linguistic Portal of Canada, the National Film Board, Air Canada, La Fédération de la Jeunesse Canadienne-Française, NAF Canada, and many other groups, including the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
You never let me down. Hey Dad, je t'ai vu dans mes rêves. Quelque part où le temps n'a pas de place, je revois ton visage et je retrouve espoir. Sous le baobab aux mille et une histoires, ta flamme nous éclaire. Keep on spinning. Tout un mystère, revêtu des aurores boréales, forte comme une montagne, et pourtant si fragile. Tu n'as jamais baissé les bras, alors réveille l'étincelle en moi.
Hey Terre by Kelly Badeau here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. This hour on Speak Up, I'm playing you a couple episodes of the Franco podcast as part of Rendezvous de la Francophonie, which is a cultural event organized annually to celebrate International Francophonie Day, which is March 20th. That's next Wednesday, promoting the French language and the many ways it is expressed across Canada. We just heard the conversation with Dr. Claire-Marie Plisson. And up next, we're going to hear an interview with Francella Fialos, who is a program officer and communications director at the Community Radio Fund of Canada. In this conversation, Francella talks about speaking Spanish and English as a child in Ottawa, her experience of learning French, and her history working and volunteering in community radio in Halifax, Montreal, and Ottawa. And we are just going to get right into that. So enjoy, and we'll be back afterwards for a trip into the CJSF archives right here on Speak Up on CJSF.
Welcome to the Franco Podcast. Welcome to the 2024 Rendezvous de la Francophonie Podcast. I interviewed 8 bilingual or multilingual people for this year's podcast, including Francella Fialos. Francella lives in Halifax and is a program officer and communications director at the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Here is our conversation. You speak several languages. Can you tell me a bit about your linguistic journey?
Sure. I speak English, French, and Spanish. Spanish, I guess, is technically my first language. That's the language I grew up with. My parents spoke to me and my brother and sister in Spanish. And the relationship that I think my siblings have had with Spanish has definitely evolved over the years. We definitely have gone through periods where maybe we would speak more English in response to our parents, or where we would feel more committed and invested in one to hone our Spanish speaking skills a little bit, as particularly with my grandmother who only speaks Spanish. So I understand Spanish perfectly well, and then go through moments where I speak a little bit more at home depending on the content. And if it's like really delicate stuff, like usually I'll try to express myself in English with my mom. Yeah. But I also speak French, and that's just being from Ottawa, a bilingual city, very easy to access French education. I did French immersion all throughout school, and then didn't speak a lot of French throughout university, which I really regret. But when I moved to Halifax in 2016, I was starting to speak again through classes at the Alliance Française. And then before I knew it, I was moving to Montreal, and I lived there for 4 years where I was speaking French pretty regularly and really made an effort to increase my abilities in French through working with a tutor twice a week. So I would say now I'm at a point where I'm fairly proficient in French. Like, again, I think there are always instances in which it's harder to express yourself when you're talking about technical subject matter or just delicate subject matter where nuance is very key. But I do feel very comfortable having conversations in French, and I really do appreciate the ability to speak in somebody's first language, especially if they represent a radio station. I think it's really important to highlight that kind of communication as now a representative of the Community Radio Fund of Canada. And of course, English is probably my language that I'm most comfortable with. I think maybe 98% of my interactions every day I speak in English. And I would say that's the language that I think in. So my internal monologue is in English. And I usually, if I'm stuck in French or stuck in Spanish, it's usually like a moment where I'm translating from English.
When you talk about Spanish, is it a particular type of Spanish?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because there are a lot of regional differences, as many people will point out. Spanish from Spain sounds very different than Spanish from Mexico, and that sounds very different from Spanish in Argentina. For me, my parents are from Nicaragua, so that's right in Central America. And I think there are a lot of linguistic similarities between Spanish spoken in Nicaragua and El Salvador and Costa Rica, since they're pretty close to each other geographically. There are some differences between the Spanish spoken in Nicaragua and Mexico, for instance. I remember in trying to get better at my Spanish, I was watching The Simpsons in Spanish, and there were just certain things where if I would repeat back, my mom would be like, "Oh no, we don't say that. That's, you just say, only people in Mexico say that. That's not, we don't say that."
I don't know if that there is a specific term to describe the specific Spanish that we speak at home, but yeah, my parents are from Nicaragua, and I think the linguistic subtleties definitely come up every now and then.
And in terms of the French that you've learned, what I learned in school in French, what they was what they called Parisian French. That was in the 70s, so they might call it something else now. But you've also lived in Quebec, so you also maybe have experience with a couple different
Yeah,
versions.
for sure. So I think growing up in Ottawa, the French that we learned was definitely more in line with Quebecois and Franco-Ontarian French. We would definitely take some time to learn like the Quebecois version of certain words, and then maybe we would spend time learning that there's actually a different word in France French. But this is how Quebecois say this term. And then, of course, going to Quebec and living in Montreal, fully immersed in Quebecois culture and art and language. So then I picked up even more slang and regional differences between that and French spoken in France. But when I was at the Alliance Française, it was definitely Parisian French that we learned there with a Parisian accent as well. But I would say the French that I speak at my work at the fund, or if I'm speaking to anybody who speaks French here, even in Nova Scotia where I live, I would say it probably sounds more like Quebecois French.
So how about the Acadian communities in your area?
That's really interesting that you bring up, because 2 or 3 weeks ago I visited the Francophone station in Halifax, which obviously serves and caters to the Acadian communities in Nova Scotia. So it was great to hear that accent. I really enjoy the Acadian accent and the linguistic differences in Acadian French. A lot of people do mistake it for being too close to English, but I really appreciate that kind of linguistic variety in French, especially as somebody who was learning French and was kind of developing my own accent, my own constructions and phrases. It was disheartening to know that there are different ways in which French was spoken.
And I'm assuming that being, I guess, trilingual, because you don't have any other languages up your sleeve, right? There's basically just.
No, basically that. There was a time where I was trying to learn Polish because I thought it sounded really pretty. And my partner is actually Polish, but he doesn't speak any. But yeah, I was trying to do that. But those three, I would say,
Those are
are the three
the
that I
three.
talk.
So do you find that that gives you access to books, movies, music? In a different way than somebody that was, say, unilingual would have.
Yeah, that's really interesting. With music, like I would probably push back on anybody who says that they couldn't appreciate certain music because it's not sung in the language that they speak. Like I would certainly push back on that. I would say that there's lots of ways in which you could appreciate music not sung in your native language. And even lots of music that's instrumental or features the voice used in a very interesting way, like almost more as a texture. But when it comes to appreciating films or literature, I would say, having lived in Quebec, there was just a huge culture over there of comic books, or bande dessinée, and I thought it was great to not only learn French through reading bande dessinée and getting that additional resource of like illustrations to help contextualize certain scenes, especially when like it's mostly a dialogue heavy passage where people are using a lot of slang that you can't easily look up in a dictionary. And also just to like gain a greater insight into a literary culture that's more heavy in Quebec than anywhere else in the country. I hadn't really noticed bande dessinée or bande dessinée culture when I lived in Ottawa or when I lived in Halifax, but it was basically everywhere when I lived in Montreal. So that was one thing that I would say, that like having an interest or enthusiasm in learning French, and specifically Quebecois French, kind of lend itself naturally to wanting to be interested in this specific style of literature and written component, mixing illustrations as well. And I would always recommend that too for anybody interested in learning French, to read more bande dessinée, because fun, enjoyable, easy. The illustrations can help contextualize, really great for a beginner, and showing an interest in the actual culture, which certainly helps in language learning, I find.
Are there things that you love about being bilingual, and are there things that you find might be difficult about it?
Things that I love about being trilingual, just the ability that I could speak to somebody in their native language. I definitely had run into some moments in Montreal where somebody needed help, but they could only, it seemed like they could only speak Spanish. So I was just grateful that I was able to communicate with them and help them get where they needed to go or something. And then in French, obviously, to show that interest and commitment and wanting to immerse yourself in the culture, and being able to cross those divides. And just have like another tool in your tool belt, so to speak. When you learn French in Ontario, particularly, at least that's what I'm most familiar with and have been exposed to, sometimes it can seem like a chore, unfortunately. If only we could have a different approach to language learning in this country, where like learning French could actually be so useful and so fun and could help you with so much opportunity, then I think people would have a different approach to it. But because it's like something that you have to do, and it's like always in this boring way with using cahiers and not and like focusing on conjugation and grammar and how the grammar is so hard. I think too, even in Quebec, like there is a culture of wanting to encourage people who come to Quebec to learn French, but really emphasizing that it can be fun. You know, it doesn't have to be a chore, it doesn't have to be like that weird guilty obligation you have to the Duolingo bird who pops up on
That's
your phone
me.
every day. Yeah, like it can really be fun just through like an immersion of culture and understanding and appreciating the culture.
Do you think having learned several languages at a young age has helped you to be good with languages?
I don't know if I would say I'm good at languages. I would just say that I've spent now a lot of time thinking about learning language and that kind of commitment and the frustration you can feel at times in learning a language. When you just feel like impotent or incompetent because you're not expressing yourself how you normally would express if it was your native language, I've definitely felt that numerous times. I would usually tell people like the only way out is through. Like you just have to keep going, even though it's hard and humbling and frustrating, you'll get there. And I think too, to always go from like English to French or English to Spanish or English to any other language, like it's really difficult. English is really not like any other language out there. And I always share with people what my dad once told me when he was learning English from Spanish. He said that English was not that hard to learn because you can say a lot in very little. And that's not the case with Spanish, and that's certainly not the case in French. Like, you really have to expand and be very verbose when you explain something specific, but that's not necessarily always the case in English. He said that the hardest thing was just the pronunciation, but in terms of construction, the things you can get away with in saying very little was great.
Did your dad learn English in Nicaragua or in Canada or somewhere
Yeah,
else?
both my parents learned English when they arrived in Canada. So they did like the classic English learning when they arrived here as new immigrants, and then they also just like immersed themselves in the culture.
So you ended up in French immersion. So was that maybe a conscious choice on their part to, or maybe that was something you wanted?
I don't even know how that happened per se. It was just like French was around, and I think like I just would take the French immersion option. Because like that's what I wanted to do. I don't know. It was
Right.
just like I don't know how French immersion was always treated in schools. Like sometimes it's like kind of revered as like this is like for the smart kids, or it's like for, you know, kids who are already speaking multiple languages. I feel like it varies based on the different experiences I hear from people, but like yeah, I don't think there was like a conscious effort on my part and certainly not on my parents' part to be like you need to learn French. Although I do think about like with my own children, like how would I ensure that they get enough Spanish? Because I like I said, I mostly speak English and think in English. So like how would I ensure that they are engaging with Spanish and can speak Spanish and understand Spanish? And then also like how can I ensure that they speak French? Because I can see the opportunities that open up when you have French. How could I make sure that they are actually like completely fluent and they never have to think about the Duolingo bird and trying to get a job.
Is there a language you feel is home-like to you?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I definitely feel most emotionally provoked by Spanish because, like, I could easily be transported to my family and home and specific instances in which Spanish was spoken, either like in good and bad ways. In terms of comfort and familiarity, like I think English has been my home base, so to speak. And I feel like a lot of joy recently in trying to just read more literature and read more poetry, for example, and seeing how the English language could be used in very unpredictable ways.
You've mentioned your community radio experience a little bit. Do you want to give us the short version of your experience in the sector?
For sure. So I am the program officer for the Local Journalism Initiative at the Community Radio Fund of Canada. And I also do the communications work for the CRFC. For that, I was the station manager of CJLO 1690 AM, which is the radio station based at Concordia University in Montreal. And before that, I was the program director at CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is the university station at Dalhousie. And I got my start when I was a journalism student at Carleton University, and I volunteered at CKCU.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And the NCRA as well, I guess.
Sat on the board at the NCRA, and I worked at the NCRA for a bit. Yeah, that's a little bit about my journey in campus community radio.
That was my conversation with Francella Fialos, who lives in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You've been listening to the 2024 Rendezvous de la Francophonie podcast, hosted and produced by Catherine Fisher. The podcast celebrates March, the month of the Francophonie, and it was made possible by the Dialogue Foundation, which has a mission to engage in a sustainable dialogue within the Francophonie and with all of Canada's diversity. This year's Rendezvous de la Francophonie partners and funders include the Government of Canada, the Linguistic Portal of Canada, the National Film Board, Air Canada, La Fédération de la Jeunesse Canadienne Française, NAV Canada, and many other groups, including the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Thank you to Catherine for producing that. That was, as you just heard, an episode of the Franco podcast celebrating Rendezvous de la Francophonie. You can find out more information about the Rendezvous de la Francophonie, including what events you can go see locally. There's lots going on here in the Greater Vancouver area. You can go to rvf.ca for more information there. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, and we have just enough time for me to take you on a trip into CJSF's archives. Going back, as I mentioned earlier, to 1996, to a record by John McLaughlin. And I came upon John McLaughlin, the jazz guitarist, fusion guitarist, we'll just call him a guitarist, through his work with Miles Davis on records like Bitches Brew, Tribute to Jack Johnson, Live Evil, and others, and then through his work as the centerpiece of Mahavishnu Orchestra, sort of jazzy prog rock, jazz fusion stuff. He has continued to put out music and has been active since 1963, continuing to put out records. In 1996, he put out a record called The Promise, and we're going to hear the first track off of that, which is a version of the standard Django, featuring the extra guitar work of Jeff Beck. So this is pretty cool. You can hear it. And then Democracy Now! Will be up next. So see you next week. Enjoy.
We had food growing.